FM.
You hear me say Godot's mic isn't on? I think before the music hit, I actually said Godot's mic isn't on. We have not got Godot here with me. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada. The whole show is mine until his mic comes on. We're at Vintage News Studio in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Penn Jillette. Oh, this is cool. This is cool. You're in the room and no one cares.
This is not cool!
Travis, you getting his mic on? What's going on here? He's working on it. Anyway, we're in Las Vegas. This is the Penn Jillette Show on Free FM. It seems we are unable at the time right now or hear Michael Godot. And you know, I don't. I'm not that worried about it. I think we're going to be fine. I was going to ask Godot how his show was. Oh, good morning, Lance. I got to say good morning, Lance, and good morning, Teller, because they're both waking up right about now. Not together, but they're both waking up. And on today's show, we're going to try to wrap up some stuff. I got a lot of emails that I want Godot to read sent to penradio@gmail.com. That's the address, gmail.com. And the big news, are you here now?
No, I'm not here now.
we are going to be able to take phone calls. Is that what you're saying now?
Yes.
We just can't hear
yes.
Godot. Godot, why don't you find yourself a cell phone and call in? And you'd be calling in to 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E. That's 3733, 866-313-FREE for the Penn Jillette Show here. And you can talk to me. We're in Las Vegas, and we just found out from this email that we got that we're going to be able to give away this big fancy schmancy trip to L.A. for the Grammys, like this big trip that CBS is doing, and they're going to give it away on our show on next Thursday or Friday. So if you haven't been listening, if you've never listened to the show before, you should start now because, nope, I just heard a click. Is that Godot coming in?
No. Still not me!
You know what? It was working so well before. Oh, now we get some clicking. Now we get some clicking and some unpleasantness. Anyway, the big news for me is that Star Price, whose real name is Starling Price. That's great, isn't it? His name is Star Price, but his real name is Starling Price. And the great thing is that his you're back.
I'm on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Michael Godot.
I was playing Teller today. I'm shaking my head at things you say.
Are you okay if you calm down?
I'm okay.
What
now.
Did that feel like being
Man,
cut off like that?
Scary. Man, everything came together, though. We have the phone call thing working now. We're so good.
Everything's so fine. For a moment, that was terrifying. I was talking about Star Price. You know,
Starling.
Starling is his name. And Star Price is from Minnesota, mm-hmm. which I think tells you all you need to know about Star Price. You know, clean cut, good man. Good,
right?
If you were gonna
solid.
Do,
he's a solid man.
If you were going to cast, like, you know, a guy with a pipe to sit on a couch in the 50s, Starling Price would be a good choice. And his name is Starling. And you'd think, well, he's, you know, how old is he? He's in his 40s. Yeah. So you figure, well, his parents were hardcore hippies.
Right. Well, Star, you know, when you start calling him Star.
Or Starling, either one, named after a bird.
I'm okay with Starling. I'm not that keen on Star.
Yeah, well, and not double R, like Star Jones. You
no.
know? This is a Minnesota boy. And you'd think, well, his parents are clearly hippies, right?
Right.
Parents are not hippies. His parents, that's
bird,
a family.
Bird fanatics?
No, that's a family name. It's a family.
Oh, no,
like
right.
our second child will be named Zoltan,
uh-huh.
which is Easy, my wife's last name.
Uh-huh.
And I want to take a moment because Star Price, he is the director of everything we do, pretty
right.
much. He directs all the Penn and Teller BS, and he is so responsible for the show because he is a convert kind. No, that's not true. He was a scumball. He was a bad guy. He was.
he said he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, can't be that
not bad guy.
You're right. He's not that bad. But he was a director who used to do all these psychic shows. Mm-hmm. He would spend all this time directing people. You know, I guess I shouldn't say the name of the shows, but all this, you know, supposedly unexplainable stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he would do this, and he would set these people up, and then because of Mark Wolper, who's the big cheese, he's mm-hmm. our producer.
Sure.
One of our producers, because you're one of the producers, too.
I'm a producer as well.
But he's like the executive producer. He's the money producer. You're the monkey producer.
I'm executive producer as well.
Are you really?
I am.
I didn't know that. You know the reason the Michael Godot is producer? You probably all at home have figured this out. But the reason that that he is producer is that they... We were working with Showtime,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to do these promos. There were these promos that we had to have done, and we had to okay them and talk about them and rewrite them and stuff mm-hmm. to make them mm-hmm. our style.
Sure.
And they said, let them talk to Godot. And they said, we won't talk to Godot. Godot's just a writer. We want to talk to Penn, Teller, or a producer. We made a phone call and said, make Michael Godot a producer.
Was that it?
That was it. That's why you're a producer.
Okay.
It's not like loyalty or because you're so important to the show, both of which are true. We would have gotten around to making you producer because of how important you are to the show and because of loyalty. We would have gotten around to it in about 2007.
Well, the scary part was, you know, the first day there on the show, you going, you people will have to talk to Godot. And me going, no, I am just the lowly writer.
Yeah.
And then having to stand up to the Showtime executives and speak with them.
And say, this yeah. not Sal Penn.
This is not the way Mr. Gillette would like to say this.
Mr. Gillette finds this tedious. So you became a producer on the
yes.
show. But the real producer, you know, the producer that actually does the work.
The opening the wallet guy. Well,
yeah.
They call me and ask me what color things should be.
Yeah.
That's what producer means. Hey, we're making a prop. Should this be red or blue? Blue, thank you. That's
yeah.
my job.
That's your job. But Mark Wolper. From, you know, and his father is, you know, is the Wolper guy who made every documentary in the world. I think he made Nanook of the North and stuff. And he did everything in the world. He also made the original Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Yeah, the one not with Johnny Depp playing Michael Jackson, but the one with... I mean, Johnny Depp is so great.
He's great.
You know, and the idea, it seems like his idea of being a great actor, which works really well for him, is to just have some sort of impersonation he does.
Right.
Like in the Pirates of the Caribbean, he's doing Keith Richards.
Which is fabulous.
Yeah.
And it's once you know that,
yeah.
it's very clear.
Well, what do you mean? Once you know that. Once you see the movie, you
once
know
you see
that.
The movie.
And then it seems to me, although he backed down on this and for good and sufficient reasons, and it may be Johnny Depp lying, or it may have been subconscious, or it may have been... Johnny Depp's a good guy, good actor, but I think he's doing Michael Jackson. I mean, impersonating Michael Jackson in the new Willy Wonka. But the original Willy Wonka, which is with Gene, I was going to say Gene Hackman. It's not Gene Hackman. Gene
Wilder. Gene Wilder, please.
With Gene Hackman, it would have been so great. Like a French Connection. Popeye Doyle.
A very different movie.
Very different Doyle. But anyway, his father, Wolper's father, Mark's father, did the Willy Wonka movie.
Yes, he did.
And that final line of Willy Wonka, which is so important, you know what happened to the boy who did
yeah.
everything he wanted,
mm-hmm.
lived happily ever after. The way Wolper tells it, they didn't have that ending for the movie. And his dad thought the ending was weak and called up the writer and gave him like 45 seconds on the phone to write a final line to the movie. That was the pressure he was under. I just made up the 45 seconds and the on the phone.
Okay.
But I think he had a short period of time in order to do that. Anyway, Mark Wolper got involved with us to do Penn and Teller BS. It wasn't called that then. You know, we put the name BS on it, which is so stupid. You know, we should have called it bullshoot, you know.
Anything
bullshot,
we could say.
Anything we could say so they could give us a billboard, you know.
And bull now, poop.
Yeah. Now, you know, Showtime doesn't want to give us a billboard. They don't want to give anybody a billboard, you know. They don't want anybody that wasn't in Fat Actress to have a billboard. But we give them an excuse, right? Because it's not like they have to say, no, you're a show we don't care about or something like that. They don't have to do it. They just say, oh, we can't get those billboards.
Can't type
no
those letters.
No billboards in the country. We'll let you do that. And that's the all. You know, that's the reason that our, you know, they say, well, you know, they can always buy it on Amazon, but we can't get shelf space at some of these places. So that's why Criss Angel is a genius. His show Mind Freak. His show Mind Freak.
Wonder what he was thinking.
Exactly. We know what Mind Freak means. We know clearly what a Mind Freak is. Not an expression anyone has ever used. You know, it's like if we said it was, you know, bull snooze.
Right.
It's bull. People start saying bull snooze. You make up that word because they know what the real word is. But we went direct. And I remember my argument.
Right.
My argument with Showtime was you can't do a show about BS and then cop out on the title. I gave this impassioned speech. I really was impassioned.
Uh-huh, sure.
And they bought it.
And you're just wrong.
It's just wrong. What it was an impassioned speech for me to make a lot less money. For me to make so much less money. Oh, yeah. I was thinking. Anyway, he brought in Star Price,
yes.
who looks like, you know, he's from Minnesota, which mm-hmm. he is. And his list of credits, he brings us his resume because he wants to direct and produce. He's also a producer, but his important thing is directing. He brings us his resume. And it has on it, like, you know, aliens are real. Talk to your dead grandmother. You know, that's the stuff he does. And he simply, you know, his whole rationalization for that, his whole alibi was to go, I'm sick of being on the wrong side. So, you know, in the early days.
That was
days,
the dead right thing to say, though.
Dead right, yes.
Yeah.
Unlike.
We should have had him at the name meeting.
The name meeting. And we'd be called Bull Snoozle, and it would be Mythbusters, right?
Yeah.
It's just our show. But they, you know, and they do a great job, and they're and at the amazing meeting, the Randy thing, they're going to be there. And we love the Mythbusters guy. I've never met them. I mean, maybe they're despicable people. But everything I've heard about them is they're good. I'm supposed
show's
to be
good
in a couple weeks. Yeah, it's a good show. Mythbusters. Say that anywhere.
Much better
you want
name.
A billboard on Sunset Boulevard? Myth. You want a billboard in the middle of the Bible Belt? Mythbusters. And then it's like, BS. Even on our show. About
we cannot say. Yeah, that Lance brought that up last night. How come you can't say the name of your show on your show?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, you know.
And, you know, that's because of FCC rules.
Yes.
Pretty much. But, you know, you don't need the FCC rules. We might be stopped from saying that. There's that show on TV.
Right.
That
right.
I've never seen
no
and know
seen
nothing
it.
About.
Book of Daniel.
Book of Daniel.
Book of Daniel.
And there was a big article in the paper the other day about how this show is about a dysfunctional priest?
Yes, a dysfunctional
priest. Wow, is that redundant?
His family.
Is that redundant? A dysfunctional priest.
You would think.
A priest that doesn't fit in as a normal guy in society. I want to wear a special suit and never have sex. Okay.
He's got a family. This is a, you know, maybe it's not strictly priest.
But I mean, does,
not sure.
Does his family mean his wife
yes,
and kids?
Yes, it does. It means his wife and kids.
So he's kind
I
of
have
a,
not seen it. I just read the article.
We just read the article. We don't care at all about the show.
We don't care. We don't care about the show.
We don't give a good Godfrey Daniel.
It might be our favorite show.
We don't know.
We've never seen it.
We don't know. It's a black box experiment. The Book of Daniel is Schrodinger's cat sitting in a little box. Maybe the cat is dancing and doing wonderful stuff. Maybe the cat is dead.
Schrodinger's show.
As far as we know, Book of Daniel is both fabulous and terrible simultaneously, and those map one
a lot
over
of shows
the other.
Are like that.
Schrodinger's show.
Schrodinger's yeah. show.
Now that there's a million shows on TV, there must be some show that no one has watched.
That no one has ever seen.
You know, just in the law of very big numbers, you know, once there's a million shows on, there must be a show that, I mean, at least went to single digits or something. You know, just because it just happened.
It might be ours. Since we have the title of BS.
It also might be this show.
Could be this show.
Since we're just in a room. You didn't even have your microphone on. You weren't even broadcasting to me for a while. But the proof that you don't need censorship and that the free market is really successful. And we're going to be on a different side of this that people might think. The Book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Show about a dysfunctional priest and his wacky family. I put wacky.
It sounds good.
Well, it sounds
when you
really
say
good,
it, I like it. It.
Yeah, I would have.
You should have pitched it.
I would have pitched it. It would have been like the Book of GD. You know, it would have been something. They couldn't advertise it. But that's the whole thing. They had advertisers have been the there's these
reluctant to advertise. Yeah,
there's this Catholic group. This Catholic
guy.
guy.
He calls it a group.
It's not a group. It's a guy.
It's him and his wife, really.
And he's come out against us like a zillion times. I don't even want to say his name.
I don't know his name.
Yeah,
we don't
know his name. I don't even remember the name of his organization.
No, he's so effective.
But he's the guy that like got all over Trey and Matt when they did the alcoholic 12-step program.
Right.
Because they made some reference to Catholics that he didn't happen to like.
Mm-hmm.
We did a private party in Vegas for Amazing Jonathan for some friends and did some blasphemous stuff. And the next thing we know, he's in the paper calling us racist and trying to get the Super Bowl to not let us on. That year we were doing a Super Bowl prediction.
Right, with the pickle jar.
Yeah, we wrote out who was going to win, which is amazing because Del and I didn't even know what teams were playing. But through the magic of magic, we wrote out who was going to win, what the point spread was going to be, and who the most valuable player was going to be, and had to hire a person to explain to us what it meant to win at football and most valuable player. And then we took that and we put it in a FedEx envelope that was then put inside a pipe, or a screwed up pipe thing.
A screwed up pipe.
You know, what are they?
Instead of one of those crazy ones.
like a plumbing we will go, but this stuff.
A pipe bomb. You screwed it into a pipe bomb.
You screwed it into it. Well, what it looks like a pipe bomb.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you describe...
A threaded 6-inch long piece of pipe.
With a cap on both ends.
Yeah.
Put into that, and then we put it into a jar of pickles from Carnegie Deli. Which I should say, Carnegie Deli has given me a free sandwich or two, so maybe that's plug-ole. I don't know. But I'm supposed to get stuff free forever because of the major plug-ole we did in the Super Bowl, so that this doesn't really matter. And then we got Marines to stand around it in Times Square for the whole Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was snowing and miserable, and there were hundreds of people out there. And we stood there, and then at the end we had people break open the jar and the Marines and stuff and pull out, and the prediction was totally right. He tried to stop us from doing this.
Sure.
And wrote a letter to what network is the Super Bowl on? I don't even know.
CBS. I thought.
It's on this network?
It might be this one.
So by talking about the Super Bowl, we're actually doing a really good thing.
Yeah.
How great is that?
I'm not positive.
It can't, well,
you
can't
know, we're
be.
Not we're not football guys.
It can't be NBC. They don't have it, right?
I don't think so.
ABC. It must be CBS. Yeah.
Yeah, it must be. Let's vote on it. I say yes, it's CBS. What do you say? 100% CBS. So CBS is running the Super Bowl now that we've decided.
We should have a big controversy about this. You know, the phone should light up with people going, I think the Super Bowl's on ABC.
We can argue that point.
It was on, I believe it was on CBS, maybe. For all I care, it was on CBS. And the head of CBS stood behind us completely and didn't throw us off the Super Bowl. And then they also tried to get them to pull the South Park episode, which I don't know what they really did. And then he came back again with one of our BS shows. And he always hits this
beat. But he was on the show, wasn't he? Didn't we interview him?
We interviewed him, yeah. But then
we appeared on the show.
And
then protested the show.
Then protested the show. Even though
his hair was bad. I don't know.
So, I don't know. Anyway, he's just a nut. And most of these groups are nuts. Most of these groups are 2-3 people. I mean, the whole Super Bowl thing, which I think is on CBS.
It is on CBS. I've got an answer for you now.
Over
I knew that.
Over the Janet Jackson thing.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That was him?
I don't think it was him, but it was like they found out it was like, you know, 800 people writing in crayon. You know? And the fact is you don't need those letters going in there because shows like Book of Daniel aren't getting advertisers.
No one except
people
for
don't want to advertise.
Just for men is and advertising
just
on.
Just for men. And that's good. That's the way it should be.
That's
if you don't need censorship from the government. You don't need the FCC. If somebody doesn't want to show on, they can write letters to the advertisers. And someday an advertiser will be bold enough and bet in a show like Book of Daniel, which is the Schrodinger show. It could be good, could be bad. And that's the way the free market is supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Kevin Riley, president of NBC, said that we want to run contemporary programming and we want to create the best possible environment for advertisers. Sometimes those two things don't always go hand in hand.
Man, is that a depressing thing to say. Really depressing. Anyway, yeah, and but so you still people have the power. People have the power.
ABC.
Okay.
Someone called in and said it was ABC.
Okay, so we are on CBS. We are Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau, and CBS is the best network that ever lived. And we're glad we don't have the Super Bowl. We didn't want the stinking Super Bowl. Who would want the Super Bowl? Nobody does. No good network. CBS doesn't want the Super Bowl.
It's usually a nice party.
For some. glad we're back. You know, our first segment there, Michael Goudeau is sitting with me. Our first segment there, the one we started, was a little bit of nostalgia for the very beginning of 2006 when all of radio was screwed up. Right. Satellite radio, FM, AM, everything went blowy. It was a fun time for the United States of America. We kind of relived a little
A moment of it.
We're good now. No Goudeau. Everything's beautiful now. And you kind of rush through, because we're coming near the end of that quote from the guy from NBC who just said that sometimes you know, the trying to do it.
Cutting edge and money don't always go together.
Cutting edge and money don't always go together. But that's a good thing. I mean, if you want to have really, really safe television, you can pick advertisers that want to be really, really safe, and they'll support that. Isn't there some like loser network, like PAX or something, that all bonanza or something, and Gunsmoke and stuff? Isn't it all like really family-friendly
stuff?
It's
really family-friendly.
That's the way it should be, right? And they're advertisers. There are probably some advertisers that don't even want to advertise on CSI or something, and they can go for this. I mean, there's all sorts of tiers. Then you've got the super hardcore, you know, Showtime, you know, which their slogan is No Limits, and those super hardcores can pay money and get to hear exactly what they want, like Penn and Teller BS, you know? And then there's Free FM, which we can say pretty much anything we want, except the name of our show. And I want to apologize to all the people at CBS for not knowing where the Super Bowl was. But CBS was offered the Super Bowl. They were offered it for a really low price, and they said no, because it wasn't cool enough for their network, which is a cool network. If you want to call in, we're at 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. You got some emails to read.
I do.
Read a few emails.
This is Keith.
We've been getting a lot of mails.
So mail from Keith at Newfoundland.
Penn Radio, PennRadio, @gmail.com. And Michael Goudeau himself reads every single message. The most exciting ones and reads them to us. So go ahead. What do you got today?
Keith did not hear your racist comments on our actual program.
Wait, don't say racist.
I'm reading his letter.
He's talking about, I'm a Newfoundlander, at least my heritage is Newfoundland. And I'm a Newfoundlander American, I guess you could call me. And I made some good-natured jokes about a group of people living on a frozen rock in the North Atlantic.
You are a part.
That I'm a part of, and that I loved. My wife and I took our only vacation ever we took up there, and we loved the people, and they were really wonderful. And now he's written another letter. Right. After we've done pretty much two shows about Newfoundland, and I hope that the people that actually get this show enjoy it, because we're talking a lot about Newfoundland. But go ahead.
Keith has not heard either show. He says Randy Sims, the host of VOCM's Open Line Show. Randy Sims. Let's hunt him down.
Randy Sims. I don't give his call letters on the air.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Okay.
He played the insulting remarks for all to hear on his show a couple of mornings ago.
They weren't insulting.
Well, you could cut them out.
When I say to you, we're a couple of goofballs sitting here in Las Vegas, that's a camaraderie thing.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, Penn thinks Goudeau is stupid.
I'm going to write in and say, I'm not a goofball.
Exactly. It's us saying, hey, you know, we're all having a good... Okay, so Newfoundland, he says that there's this guy, Randy Sims.
Randy Sims is apparently cutting parts of the show and playing it in whatever order he likes, and it apparently sounds like you're insulting the Newfoundlanders. The Newfies.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are we going to say about this guy?
He didn't hear the show?
He didn't hear yesterday's show. He's still just mad.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Why didn't he cut Randy? Obviously, Randy must hear the show if he's editing it. So, Randy, if you're hearing this show, pull out the parts where I say, I love Newfoundland. The only vacation I ever took was to Newfoundland. It was where I went on a honeymoon with my wife. I love that frozen rock. And it turns out that my relatives, who happen to be from Newfoundland, are stupid. My relatives were stupid, but the whole rock covered with, and it's also, we found out the population, it's fewer.
It's fewer
the guy
than a
wrote in and said less, but that bothers me.
Fewer
than a million people. So you take all of Las Vegas, you take most of Las Vegas, not even all of it.
Half of Las Vegas.
And you put it on an island with this huge mass, just this huge, big, really inhospitable, beautiful, but difficult to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a million people on there, and it's just beautiful. St. John's, I believe I read that St. John, I also may be making this up, because that's what you do on radio. St. John's has the largest live music per capita of any place on Earth. There are more people.
Really?
And you go through St. John's. It's just a great city. And there's, like, you know, we're walking down the street. And this is better than Vegas, you know. You walk down the street and there are probably 20 bars. And each one of them have live music, you know.
Yeah.
Within walking distance. And all different kinds. Some of it's that, you know, fiddle and banjo garbage. And then there's also, like, a rock band. And there's also, it was like, a jazz band. There's, like, guys blowing bebop.
So it's the Austin, Texas of the frozen north, or is...
Yeah, kind of. You know, the people like to go out. You know, they're hardworking people. They like to go out and have a good time. So there was, I mean, I walked through there with my wife. This was, like, I think on a Wednesday night or something. This is not, like, a weekend. And there are bands working all the time. And, like, a $3 cover, and that's $3 Canadian, which is, like, 25 cents. And you can walk from, you know, place to place and hear really, really cool music. And then we went to the most easternly point on the North America up there, and it was great because we were on the most very, very tip of North America. Mm-hmm. You know, as far east as you can get. You can almost throw a rock in England, and why wouldn't you? And you're up there like that.
Now you've done it.
And it's
everyone in England's going to write in now.
Well, they don't have what this Zoot Boy Sims, whatever his name is. We're out there, and I'm with my wife, and it's this really kind of romantic moment because we've gone up to Newfoundland where we both have relatives, and it's
most
very
easterly
romantic.
Point, that's very romantic.
Yeah, and it's clear that we're, you know, we're going to be married, we're going to have children, and this is going to be our family, and it's this great moment. And this guy from Pakistan, who's also visiting the most eastern point, comes up and says in a Pakistani accent, which I won't do.
Please don't. I've heard it.
says, you're Penn of Penn and Teller, and recognized me at that most easterly point, a guy from Pakistan. And at that moment, it just felt like it was all one world. And some of the happiest, maybe the happiest times of my whole life were spent in Newfoundland. The people were wonderful. And then the guy mentions in his letter that right after 9/11, you know, some jets... were forced, not allowed, airspace was all stopped, and they brought them down in Newfoundland, and people opened up their homes. It was a really big story. I mean, not to recap this, but I was on the radio right after that, bragging about my people and how honest
kind
and open.
Generous and
they
kind.
Let strangers into their homes and fed them fish chowder and cod tongues, and they got these
puffin, roast puffin.
They don't eat the puffins, do they?
No, I don't know. There's a lot of puffins there.
And they took us out on the ocean to look for whales, which we never saw. The guy hallucinated whales and told us about it.
There's nothing over there. You didn't see
it's amazing. You know, we're out there. You know, the tourists are out there, like, bundled up, and we thought we were going to die because the ship is, like, going. It's this little tourist boat, but it's going, like, you know, it's going to sit right back, and you'll hear a tale. You know, it's Gilligan time. This thing is almost 45-degree angle from the ocean, you know, sideways, and people are, like, falling against the rail. And the guy from Newfoundland is wearing, like, you know, a tank top. He's got a microphone around his neck. He's not holding on to anything, and he's singing like sea shanties, singing them like a cappella in the middle of the ocean. And he's going out there to you know, show us puffins. The puffins there were plenty of, but the whales were just not there. Because I'm, you know, I'm a huge Moby Dick freak.
You know, whales are scared of puffins. As the show biologist, I would like to point out that whales fear puffins.
That wasn't even in Moby Dick.
I know.
They didn't know it then.
Exactly.
But I wear a whale tail. Uh-huh. And by that, I don't mean a thong riding up a young woman's ass who's got her jeans, which is another whale tail I'm very fond of. Oh, I love that. You know,
is that what yours is for, then?
No, it's actually from Moby Dick.
Oh, okay.
My sister gave me this.
Nice.
And my daughter, I'm hoping that this silver chain, which I got in India, which is a great place to make silver chains. I'm not saying anything against any country ever again. I hope this holds up because my daughter pulls on it. And I'm afraid that if she's able to break this, that it, you know, the whale tail in her mouth would be a dangerous thing. And I'd have to learn that, you know, they give you infant CPR before you can take your baby home.
Mm-hmm.
You go in for infant CPR. We went to this class, this very nice woman, and it's only, I want to say this in defense, it's only me, my wife, and our nanny who are in the class getting ready to take Moxie home, and she gives us this little class on infant CPR,
infant
which is
CPR.
The most important thing you can learn. I mean, donate blood, learn CPR, get bone marrow tested, get all that stuff done, help other people, save lives. It's all that matters. We got to help each other, especially the Newfoundlanders. And so she shows us how to hold the baby in the palm of our hand and hit them on the back. And then says, you know, hit them in the right place to dislodge.
Hit is probably a...
It's fairly firm.
Okay.
You know, it's just not
all
just
right.
a tap. You know, and I'm obviously not teaching babies CPR over the radio.
Let's make that clear.
You don't learn it over the radio. You go to a class and learn it. Even if you don't have a baby, you should learn it, because if somebody happens to forget or doesn't know, you might be able to save a life, and mm-hmm. then you're cool forever. So I take, and this, I don't know, they give us a little doll, you know, this yeah. like tiny resuscitation Annie. Uh-huh. baby that you're supposed to learn on. And then you're supposed to demonstrate what you've learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I take the baby doll by the ankle, and I just slam as hard as I can its head down on the table. And I look at the teacher and go, is that right? You know? And it's a doll! But now I have to go off into another special room.
To apologize.
And apologize and say, and even my wife, who, I mean, no one loves me more and no one understands me better than my wife. She's perfect. She's perfect. She is a little bit appalled. And now I'm trying to explain to people, it's a doll. So you can do a joke with a doll. I'm never going to, no matter how funny I think it would be, I'm never going to grab our daughter by the ankle. But all, and then I have to go and I have to sit down. And there's nothing worse. It's like what I've been doing here with Newfoundland.
Right.
You have to sit down with the Red Cross and go, I love babies. I love my baby. You know, our baby is a, it was IVF. You know, it couldn't be more planned than that.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. I didn't mean to slam the Red Cross baby doll's head against the table.
Well, you did mean to.
I did. Of course I meant to. I didn't mean you'd do that to a real baby. And then I asked the Leche League? The people that do
breast, milk people.
Milk people. Do the breastfeeding thing. I then said to her, how soon can we, okay, so she was saying, you know, keep her on mother's milk for this long, then start sneaking in formula. And I go, and is it crack before the crystal meth or crystal meth before crack? And the Leche League woman, yes. who does not even work at the hospital, she's just a loiterer,
uh-huh.
says, now the Leche League's going to be.
It's not, probably not leechy. Leche?
Leche?
Leche. There we go. That could be the word you're looking for.
Yeah, leche.
We should take a break.
Then she said she had to call the police because okay. I was saying I was going to give drugs to my baby. And so I'm explaining a joke again. So this is Penn Jillette, Las Vegas. We tell one joke and then explain it for another hour and a half. We'll be back right after this. Try to take some phone calls, read some more emails. Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau, Leche League, Whale Tail, Newfoundland Rocks. That's all you got to know. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau.
Howdy.
In Las Vegas, Nevada. Want to make a few things very clear. I love the people of Newfoundland. I love all the people of the world. I love my daughter. I love all babies. And sometimes I make a joke. That's all. We're going to take a phone call. I'm going to get back to a little bit about Star Price. I talked about him getting the job. I didn't talk about he's up for this big award, for directing our show. But I want to take Brian on line six, who wants to talk about public
there
libraries. You there, Brian? You there, boss? Hey, Brian. Yo, Brian.
Looks like he's on there. Hi, this is Brian.
Hi.
let's tell him what Star was nominated for. I mean, this is really great.
Well, you know, Star is nominated for the DGA Award. Directors Guild of America for Best Director.
Right.
At a reality series. Mm-hmm. Right? For our episode of I was going to say P&T. You can say Penn and Teller. You just can't say BS.
Penn, you're a mess today, man.
I'm a mess. The Newfoundland thing broke my heart, man.
Let it go.
Penn and Teller, BS on Showtime. The show we did on circumcision.
Yeah.
Which I think is perhaps one of the heaviest shows we did. And Star is nominated by his peers.
By his peers.
For great directing. And Star is an astonishing director. We did this special. What network is it on? Never mind. It was on some network sometime. And we did it last year called Penn and Teller Off the Deep End. What? And we went to hell, which is also known as the Caribbean.
No, literally also. Remember we were on that lost bus that drove through hell.
There's Dildo Newfoundland, and there's hell in the Caribbean. And it was a really hard special. I mean, we vanished a full-size submarine and then showed people how it was done. And we did all this stuff. Teller was underwater forever. You were there longer.
Yes.
You were like
I was underwater
hilarious.
12 hours a day. literally. We should say that literally. I know people don't mean that when they say literally, but Yes. 12 hours. 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. underwater.
And Sandra
out was long enough to change the tanks.
And Sandra, our dive...
Sandra was under for 13 hours at the time.
Keeping track of all your... You didn't get bent because it wasn't that deep.
That was only 15 feet.
Yeah, but boy, you guys were working really hard. And and Star, I mean, Star really was tortured.
He was tortured.
He had the network on one side saying, get a ton of beauty shots, make this a really regular... real normal special, and he had Teller and me on the other side saying, Star, we want to make it insane. You know, so we're doing like the Andalusian dog, and they're trying to do the Waltons, and Star is... All of a sudden, I'm Dennis Miller. Right? trying to do Solo, babe, and they're doing like Gilligan's Island. That was my Dennis Miller. Did you like that?
Yes, I did. I actually did.
There's a way to do Dennis Miller. All you got to do is have a pretentious reference, a pop reference, and then an obscenity, and put it together. It's kind of Kierkegaard and the Beverly Hillbillies. Whatever. But it was really a really impossible thing for Star. And he pulled off a really good special. I mean, people seem to like that special.
Great.
And, you know, when we do the show here in Vegas, you know, after the show, we talk to people. And they come up and they tell you what they think, what they like, what they didn't like. And, man, they loved that Vanishing Submarine. They loved all sorts of stuff. And
they
Star
liked those
Price.
Beauty shots. They were great.
The beauty shots that I fought against. I fought so hard against those beauty shots.
Yes, you did.
I was just such an ass about it.
You were miserable.
I was miserable, and I was making Star miserable. I was making Teller miserable. I was horrible. And Star was like persevering and just going through. And he turned in, you know, squeaked through. And turned in a really good special. I mean, I'm really it's one of the things.
It was
I'm
impressive,
proud of.
Yes.
But all the same, the Circumcision Show is better. And that was no
nothing for Deep End. No nominations, nothing.
No nominations, nothing. It was harder work, whereas the BS shows are easier. It's, you know, we're just going to a studio.
We're shooting indoors,
and it's nice. There's a psych there. We stand
air conditioning.
Standing in front of plywood. And you're not underwater for the
whole
time.
Not underwater.
And
I gotta say, it was really funny being 15 feet deep inside of a giant aquarium, and seeing you on the other side of the glass just chatting away and waving your arms. And
well, yeah, and I had the
there
easiest.
There are lobsters poking my butt, and you are just chatting with the audience.
I had it the easiest, and I was still miserable. I do not like to leave. You know, I was on the road for 30 years.
Yeah.
For 30 years, Penn and Teller were on the road. And I loved it, you know. But once I get off the road, you know, I'm done. I don't really feel like going back on the road much. And this was not the road, of course. This was down in the Caribbean. And this was in heaven. This was in Atlantis,
you
know.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful. But I was so worried about the show. I was so worried that our show was going to be, you know... all beauty
travelogue.
Shots, travelogue, and not have any sort of guts. And it ended up having quite a bit of guts. We did some really mean stuff. We did the thing about the audience reactions that drove David Blaine and Chris Angel crazy. You know, we just showed that if you put a TV camera in front of people and tell them react, they'll react.
Yeah, laugh like something funny happened. And
yeah, but
they
also
do.
Just and swear you've never seen anything like it in your life. Swear it's happening
what
live.
Was the kangaroo thing?
I told them to swear that we'd levitated a kangaroo or something.
And then people did it on camera.
But Star Price is the brains behind anything good we do. And the show on circumcision was really good because circumcising babies is a religious ritual.
Right.
And then it went that people thought the Kellogg's people and the Graham people. Yeah. I mean, the original Kellogg and Graham.
Mr. Kellogg.
Not the cereal people now. But that back in the early 20s. There's a tough one. Anyway, we don't agree.
Not necessarily. No.
They make fine cereal. They make fine crackers. But the two people that started them, whack jobs. Wrong. Wrong about stuff. And so we did this whole show. And then it was for a while, like when we were born, it was like it was a health thing.
Yeah, medically important to have it done. Sure.
So it was still done. Although... Now it looks like they were just doing that to kind of continue the religious anti-sex thing, pretending it was health. But now, at least everything we could read and our researchers could find out, there's no reason to mutilate boys.
Well, you know, somebody makes money when you do it. You know, people get paid for that surgery.
Sure. But I mean, if the kid wants to do genital mutilation, let him grow up and do it. So we're having a baby boy, Easy and I, June. In June, you might notice.
So now you have got to put your money where your you know your
mouth is. And you might hear a taped show in June. If you come on and you hear a show that you've heard before, or one that's pre-taped or something, that's because my child is being born. And Easy is terrified that the circumcision thing is so automatic that she'll be like in this weird, she'll be after having gone through childbirth, she'll be like freaked out, and then I will be, disconnected as I often am, and doing jokes with somebody and not paying attention, and that our baby will get snipped against our will. So we filled out all the forms, no circumcision, nothing. We will not pay you. As a matter of fact, we'll probably sue you. And that show that was so compelling about circumcision was directed, and I think written in large part. We have a whole staff of writers, but in large part by Star, who I believe, did you see him up at the pool? I believe he's circumcised, right? He didn't go in the hot tub with us that night.
I didn't
right?
see him in the hot tub ever.
He was working. He was working very hard.
Please hang up and try again.
All right.
If you need
That's
help,
nice.
Hang
That's
up nice. And then call your operator.
I can. You kill that? Okay.
So
anyway,
if you'd like to make a call,
so congratulations to Star Price,
help,
who's getting a nomination for that. Was just the operator calling.
Just the operator calling.
Congratulations, Star.
Yes.
I wanted to take a phone call, but just about. Oh,
we have one.
Oh yeah, comments on BS. Let's take line 8. Although it doesn't say what the name is.
He's gone. They hung up on him instead of the other fellow who called.
Oh, I see.
You know, we do have an email question, though. Here's a guy who says, Penn, big fan, love your work and your book. He's beating all his buddies at poker all the time and feeling absolutely no guilt. Ha ha.
I wrote this book for St. Martin's. It's a really good book. It's about a friend of mine who I call. He's anonymous, but a friend I call, Dickie Richard. And he's in the book. And it's a book about how to cheat your friends at poker.
And not a,
not a sweet book. Not a yeah, pleasant book. Yeah. It's like American Psycho, except it's for poker. And I wrote this book, and I kind of thought it was a morality tale, and that people would read this and go, oh, it's such a lonely, miserable, immoral life. I don't want to really be a cheat, even though I do it. But we have a guy that wrote in.
Now he's enjoying it, yes.
What else did he say there?
Well, he works for a card playing company. He asks if you need any decks.
Well, of course I need decks. I was trying for a while. I considered doing work. I'm working on a Faro shuffle, which
right.
is a perfect shuffle. So a perfect shuffle means that the cards interlace exactly.
Okay, so every other card.
Every other card, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do, and it goes through a lot of decks. So I buy cases of decks at a time. So what's the guy's name?
Michael Massa. He's the vice president of Casino Playing Cards, LTD.
Wow. I wonder who they make. I mean, because everything's mostly bicycle and stuff for all American playing cards right out of Ohio.
Well, this guy's in New Jersey.
New Jersey? I bet they make fine playing cards.
Send a box.
Send a box. You can send them.
Box and a half. I don't need a whole box.
You have his Gmail.
I do have his web address, yeah.
Okay. So you can stop in there and give him my. And then if we've said Casino Playing Cards, and on top of that, he's going to give me, now that I've said it, he's going to give me like a case. No, but don't send them if they're not. I mean, I. Like good
oh,
cards.
Now you're going to qualify this gift?
I am. I'm going to look a gift horse in the mouth ahead of time. If. They have to be really high-quality cards to do a Faro with. And there's a lot of great, great cards. Like those plastic cards that are really expensive,
yeah.
those used to be the chem right. cards they use in casinos,
mm-hmm.
are not good for card tricks.
Too much spring or what?
They're just a little bit, they don't have quite the feel of a pasteboard. So there can be wonderful cards that aren't good for this. So you know, what's his name, Mark?
Mark.
Mark, you know.
Michael Massa.
You know cards.
He knows the good cards.
Not good cards, but the kind of cards that are good for a guy like me, a magician.
The cruddy cards. If you have any cruddy cards, would you send those to Penn? I'll pick the good ones, Michael.
But Goudot will send you the address. We've got a call right now about circumcision, but I don't think we should take it because we've got we've got very little time left.
Oh, so we're
the time
James.
Is.
We clicked on him like he's on. I bet he's there.
Oh, we'll talk to James if he calls in tomorrow. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Next week, there's going to be a big. I'm going to be giving away a lot of DVDs for the Aristocrats. I'll be giving away a lot of stuff like that. We're going to give away a full, no kidding, trip. They put this in our our lap a trip to L.A. I think we're going to be done. If you're sick of the Newfoundland stuff, I think I'm done with it. I've said I've loved them. That's it. And we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about whatever you want. Write us emails. Call us tomorrow. Penn Jillette, Michael Godot on Free FM! It's free, damn it!